Matt may not be accustomed to our Australian proceedings. We would like to proceed with a formal vote of thanks. And who could be more appropriate for such an occasion than the man who was Australia's longest-serving science minister, the man who saved CSIRO, the man who created the Australia Prize, the National Science Centre in Canberra, and the Commission for the Future. The Society is grateful that Dr. Barry Jones has accepted our invitation to give the vote of thanks.
Kerry and Matt, after such an inspiring and really quite lengthy lecture, I was staggered at how quickly the time passed on. The last thing you want to do is to hear a superannuated politician talk at length. The one thing I would say, though, is that if you look back at Australia's scientific history, you can see how important geology has been right from the beginning. And I've made the point quite often that if you went back a century ago to the 1890s, a time when there was a very high level of scientific interest in Australia, and when, after they had the great exhibition in the 1880s here in the city at the exhibition building, there was a sense that the 20th century would be the era of science and that Australia would play a leading role in it. The odd thing is, if you went back to the 1890s, you would have found that the most important areas of scientific development in Australia and interest were geology and mining, agriculture, medicine, and astronomy. Now, of those subjects, three of the four were really very specifically related to the Australian environment. You know, that they're interested in mineral domains here. And our study of astronomy was very much concerned with what we saw of the southern heavens, quite distinct from the astronomy concerned with the northern heavens. And even in medicine, this is where what Geoffrey Blainey called the tyranny of distance proved to be tremendously important, because people said, well, here we are at the other ends of the earth. If we're going to aspire to the quality of life that's found in Europe or in the United States, then we've got to have the provision of medical services that are of a level comparable from the areas in the Northern Hemisphere. But the curious thing is, as I say, a century ago, geology and mining, agriculture, medicine, astronomy are the areas where Australia had its scientific leadership. And a century later, you'd have to say that the list is the same. Nothing has dropped off the list, and nothing's been added to it either. And that's why it's meant that there have been, I think, very many lost opportunities, that a lot of the new areas have developed, like, it has to be said, electronics and space and chemistry and a whole number of other areas of physics, areas where the research is generic to the whole wide world. Australia has, in a sense, been at a distance. The best of our people have often gone off in order to take part in scientific development elsewhere, but they haven't done very much here. So we've got a very strong record in geology. The other thing that had only struck me when I was listening to Dr. Golombek was how important the tradition of public lecturing in science is. And in this era of super specialisation, where often people want to concentrate on their own particular narrow discipline and don't feel a particular obligation to get out and talk about it, that the degree of public interest in science isn't really developed, isn't really exploited. And it only occurred to me, and I hadn't thought about it for a while, I remember as a kid, and I'm going back probably something like 55 years, I remember here in this hall hearing the then British Astronomer Royal, Sir Harold Spencer Jones, give an illuminating address to young people, and it's something that stuck in my mind over that half century. And I'm sure there are many here who will remember the talk that we've heard today for the next half century, and it may be one of those things that's a shaping influence for many young people. I really hope so. Thank you very much for the lecture. The only thing that I found disconcerting was, and it may represent some abnormality in my own eyes, was that I found that I got more of a stereo effect from watching directly with the naked eye without using the artifact. So I may need some specialist advice in that area. But I thought the lecture was one of the best lectures that I've ever heard. It was stimulating, it was profound, and it's something that... And at the end, there was something... It left us with a hunger for more. It wasn't as if we said, well, that's it. That's the last of it. There's nothing more to be said. We'll go out of here with many, many questions, many ideas, many matters of concern resonating in our heads as we go out. Thank you very much, and I'd like the audience to join me in congratulating.